So great to be in the house of God this morning, first day of the week. And if you will, take your Bible and turn over to the book of Genesis this morning in chapter 12 for the reading of the Word of God. And certainly it's a joy to be back with you again today. And I was going to be here last night, but I overbooked. I wasn't watching my schedule. And so I preached over in Forsyth County yesterday evening. And so it's be with you again tonight. If I have a part in a service, I like to just be there in those services and be a part of it. And so be here tonight, if you will, in the house of God. As a preacher's wife gave a testimony a while ago of how that the world has got in trouble like it has. To think that we got learned people and educated people and with places of TV, and yet just last week, made fun of our president because he said he was saved and he read his Bible and God communicated with him and spoke to him. And they made fun of our vice president. Brother, I'm going to tell you, America's in trouble today. From that, I got my Bible and started looking and started searching. And I found some night scenes that God dealt in a special way in our Bible. Now I'm going to start here this morning in Genesis chapter 12. And I'll close out over in the book of Matthew. I kind of feel like there's a lot of preaching this morning, so you pray for me. Yes, that God would just use us in these days. Church, we're going to have to stick with old-time preaching. It's got the job done. He'll still do the job. And I tell you, you don't have to search for anything new or anything different. The old hymn still works like they always have. And they'll continue to work. And this book's going to work. Bible I preach out of just like it always has. And so we see here this morning in Genesis chapter 12. And how Pharaoh has turned up on Moses and his people. Got them in bondage. He's taken away their privilege of just really walking and serving God. Like they one time had. And yet, so set up a scheme to lure them and to get them. Now I see today how that the schemes is set up across America to get the people to leave the house of God, do other things. When young folks listened to me this morning, when I was a kid, boy, we had blue law. On Sunday morning, you didn't go to the grocery store. You didn't buy gas. You didn't go buy food. You didn't. The only way you could get medicine is a doctor would call the drugstore and say so-and-so needs medicine, and they'd unlock a door long enough for you to come in, get it, and leave and lock it back. They reverenced the Lord's day, and so that's been taken from us, and yet competition down through the days. I come to the flea market this morning, parking lot was set and full, everybody hustling, bustling looked like. I'm here to tell you, car races, ball games all over this country, luring and taking God's day that we should be worshiping. But I'm going to tell you, God's going to deal with it one of these days. And so he dealt with Pharaoh. You say, preacher, what did he do? He bonded those believers as Moses, as he was God's man to lead the children of Israel. And hindered them every way that they could until one day God spoke to Moses here in chapter 12. And he said, Moses, I'm here to tell you, I'm going to deal with this situation. And he said, I want you to get your people up. I want you to get your lamb like you've been worshiping with. I want you to slay that lamb, catch that blood in a basin. I want you to get your sandals on and your stave in your hand and a roast piece of lamb in the other hand. Just takes what's going to be needed for your family for the day. And he said, I want you to strike that blood on the doorpost and the door lintels. And I want you to stay in the house of God and worship and just do what I'd have you to do. Tell your kids, stay in. Don't go out of the house. And so we find here in chapter 12 how God related to Moses and what to do and how to do it. And then when we get down to verse number 29, I want you to see this night scene here. And verse number 29, and it came to pass at the midnight, the Lord smote all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, firstborn to Pharaoh that sat on the throne, unto the firstborn of the captains and was in the dunghills. And all the firstborn of the cattle. Brother, God said, Moses, I want you to get in the house. I want you to take and put that blood over the lintel, over the each side of the door. And he said, when I pass over, he said, if I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I want you to know, thank God, even down in Pharaoh's bondage, hey, with their lambs, and still made an offering unto God. If you want to, a Passover is what I call it. They had, they just talk, and they put the blood on the doorposts, the door lintels, stayed in the house that night, had their sandals on their feet, a stave in their hand, and a roast piece of lamb in the other hand. And brother, that night, God passed over. You say, preacher, what is that? That's a judgment of God. Amen. Let me say, today, America's headed for the judgment of God. Amen. Brother, it's a sad hour in the days that we're living of how all of the rights and the privileges has been trying to be taken from our churches. Thank God, I'm glad God, Brother Pastor, raised us up a president. But it said, Johnson in his day said, if a preacher says anything about politics in the pulpit, you'll lose your tax exempt. And all of that, that's down through the years, he's been working against the church. But thank God, I'm glad Trump stepped out a few weeks ago and said, your citizens, you got a right, if you don't like what's going on in the government, have your say. So I'm striking that off in the books. Thank God for a president that would do that. I'm glad that he honors America by honoring Jesus Christ and saying that we'll pray in the name of the Lord Jesus for our country. I have some close ties in Washington. Brother Andrew Phipps, who's served in Indiana for two terms, he's lived with our vice president as a neighbor for 25 years. They pray together. They worship together. They talk about our country and all of that. Brother Phipps and I preached together just back in November. And I believe, Brother Pastor, was you there in that meeting here, Brother Phipps, on that Tuesday morning? Preach, that old man, I'm telling you, took his Bible, took him a text out of the Old Testament. Rolled that Bible up in his hand. That church was about 80 foot across, and he preached from one side to the other. And I'm telling you, had God all over him. And he said, preacher, they've invited me to come back to Washington. He said that our president, he has agreed to let me bring fundamental Bible preachers to Washington, and he's going to sit down and listen to them and hear what thus saith the Word of God. And Brother Phipps has asked me if I'll consider being one of the preachers that'll go to Washington and to serve on that committee. I'm here to tell you, friend, God might be doing a little something today in our community just to help our churches get a new revival and get a new spirit and save of God's grace. Hey, we're just going to stay with God, stay with this old book, and walk with God in these hours, and do what God will let us do in these days. You say, preacher, there's judgment on the way. Sure, but I'm excited what God's fixing to do too. He took care of Moses here, and I believe he's the same God, and I believe he's going to take care of his church too, folks. Now, you might be a little discouraged this morning, and my thought might be just a little discouraging here, but I'm here to tell you, thank God, there's grace for whatever you and I have to face. Whatever we have to go through, whatever we have to see, I'm glad there's a grace of God that'll help us in these hours. And so we see here how God at the midnight hour, now I know the clock's ticking away, and I believe we're near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, brother, God worked in the Old Testament. He took care of a situation here, and it got the attention of Pharaoh and that friend and those captains. And I'm here to tell you, they realized there was a God in heaven who was on the throne and his own Moses aside. And brother, he's going to let this world know that God's on our side too. So I want to encourage you, church. I thank God for jubilees and for a time of revival just for us to come in and stir our hearts. And I want you to know God ain't forgot about us. God knows all about old America. And yet, with all that we're facing, I'm here to tell you, one day he's going to get us out of here. So we got something to look forward to in these days. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of a hard task. Well, ain't nothing too hard for God. All he had to do that night is just to see the blood. I want to tell you, we'll be now 58 years. We'll be in a few days. God saved me one Sunday morning in a church service. And I've never got over it. It's been different ever since. Had problems with the devil? Sure I have. He's tried to battle us. He's tried to attack us and all of that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God's still on the throne. And he'll see us through, church. And I don't want you to give up. And I don't want you to let up. And as an old man of God, I just want to come by to tell you this morning, I just want you to keep on and keep on for the glory of God. You say, how you do that? Because that he lives within you. If you're saved this morning, I'm glad he lives inside of us today. You know, in John 14, he said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send a comforter. And he's going to be just like me. And if you read John 14, he said, I'm going to send him in my name. I'm glad that Holy Ghost of God that lives within my soul, named after Jesus, amen. And he took up his abode. And I tell you, made a difference in my life. So don't give up, church. Don't slow up. Don't let up this morning. Just keep on for the glory of God. And I'm here to tell you, God's going to help us in these hours. Look with me, if you will, over in Acts chapter 16 this morning. In Acts chapter 16, we find another scene here at an hour. And in that scene, I'm here to tell you, God worked in a marvelous way. And doing that, that he could prove himself as yet being God. So we see there was a judgment in Genesis chapter 12. But here in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 25, and at the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang and praised unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awake out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposedly that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and spake in and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? A nice scene at a midnight hour. Here's Paul and Silas. They've been preaching the gospel just like I preach. And they've been walking with God and serving God. And we see an incident here that happens. And out of that incident, as they come into Philippi, and as they was preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a little damsel in there who had been working for her soothsayers and had been doing the great gain of things for them, and they was making money off of her. And yet she got followed Paul and Silas as they came in to preach. And she'd cry aloud as they was preaching and say things until Paul rebuked her and asked for the demons to come out of her. And they came out of her. And when they did, her life was changed. And her men, as she was working for, they seen that they was losing great gain from her. And they arrested Paul and Silas. And now they put them in the Philippian jail. And in that night in the jail, Paul and Silas didn't sit down and cry the blues. They didn't sit down and twiddle their thumbs. They started singing the old hymns of Zion. Hey, I want to tell you something. When the devil gets after you, just start humming along some old hymn of Zion. I'll exalt Christ and give praise unto Him. And it won't be long, thank God, He'll have your soul rejoicing. And so here they put them into prison. Because of the preaching, walking with God. I don't know, preacher, what we might have to face. I really don't know all of it. I know I've had some experiences down the road. When I went to Virginia to pastor back in 82, they had a citywide get-together for celebration. And all the city came in. And so I was out on visitation that morning, and I come home. My wife said, the sheriff's been here. And I said, he has. And said, yeah, he's got a warrant for your arrest. And so I said, okay, I don't know what I've done, but that'll be all right. And out of what I'm going to tell you came to be a great experience. So I came home. They were sitting out waiting for me to come in. When I come in, they pulled in. And come to the house and said, we got a warrant for your arrest. And I said, okay. And I just stuck my hands out and I said, here I am. And I said, what is it all about? You're the new preacher in town. And we're going to just take you downtown with us. And I seen it was a gag deal, so I just fell in line with it, Brother Pastor. And found out another preacher had just been new coming into the age of the city. Done him the same way. He got mad and fussed him out. And so they carried me downtown, and they put me in a jail, an old jail cell they had, right there on the main square of our city. And the people was coming by, they was talking to me, and listening at me. I got hollering. I got the attention of the whole city. I said, I need you to come to my rescue. I said, I want to eat supper at the house. And I want to raise enough money to get my bond set. I raised the city almost $100 just hollering out across that city. They had never had a preacher to do that. I just played along with a gag. And I want you to know, they was folks in that city had never been to that church and never had listened to the church that I was a pastor to. But because of my attitude, they got coming. They wanted to see a man of God. I didn't act ugly like that other fellow did. I just played along with her gag. And out of that, I raised them almost $100. And they got all excited about that. And I'm here to tell you, church, this morning, in a time that it seems to be ugly, one of the best things to do is just go on and serve God. Walk with God. I don't know how many of you might remember Brother Lester Roloff down in Corpus Christi, Texas. Brother Lester and I were friends, who was close, on first name basis. I've been in this place many a time, preaching in his pulpit. He's fixed me supper. I've eaten at his table. Stay out in them old trailers out there going in and out of Mexico. And Brother Lester, here I was on the property. Wouldn't be long till he'd be coming on that old John Deere bicycle. And he'd have me a gallon of whole milk and a big hunk of cheese that they'd made there in the homes. We had great fellowship. Some of you have heard about how the state of Texas come down on him and put him in jail because he wouldn't take a state license to operate his church and operate the homes that he had there and the great work that's going on. And they put that old man of God in jail. And they was rough with him and tough on him. But old Lester got in jail. And he got them old boys around that night before they bunked down. And they had all the prayer right there in the jail. Next day they brought his mail to him. He said, "Hey, you jail fellas here, I want you to gather around. So get in a circle here." He took that big bag of mail and just dumped it out on the floor and shook it. Said, "Help me go through my mail." And then on Sunday morning, he had a Sunday school class and taught them the Word of God. And that jail got so upset till they said, "We don't want him here." They played rock and roll music, trying to mess his mind up and all of that. And them old jailbirds, they got in love with that man of God. And when they got out of jail, some of them got saved, come by his church. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's still on the throne, church. And any situation you might get in, God has a way to bring you out of it. So here's Paul and Silas put in jail. They just sung the songs. They just praised God. They just shouted. But that night at midnight, glory to God, God came in. Now I want to tell you, here's the way God works. He shook that old prison with an earthquake till every door was open. And when the jailer sprung in and would have killed himself, and Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." Boy, I shook that old jailer. And then as I closed out there in that verse 25, and at midnight, in verse 30, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That old jailer brought them boys out from that old shuck up jail is in. But he said, "I want you to tell me how to be saved." They had already heard enough of them old boys till they knew there's something they had that they didn't have. Now, church, I'm going to tell you, God's not going out of the saving business. It might be a midnight hour here, and it might be a midnight hour for as the way the American people looks at the church. But it's a great time to win souls. It's a great time to get people saved. How do you do it? Just keep on Sunday morning worshiping. Sunday night worship, Wednesday night worship. Just serve God wherever you go. Have a testimony for Jesus. It'd be amazing what He'll do in your life. And you say, here's a midnight scene. In verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. I'm going to tell you something. It's amazing how God began to move if we'll get worshiping right. Get singing right. Just preach right. He'll move on the scene. And I'm telling you, that's why we're having this jubilee. These just few days get our hearts stirred and shook for God. So we see there's some dark nights in the Word of God. You listen to some of this crowd and the jig's up. It's all over with. But I'm glad it's not over with yet. Might be a dark hour, but it's not over with yet. Go back with me, if you will, in Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, in verse number 60, verse 62. Verse number 62. The Bible said in Psalms 119 and verse 62, "At midnight I will rise and give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment." Now here's David in Psalms 119. You just mark your place and go home and read it and study it out some. But we see that in this hour here that we're looking at is a dark hour. And it's a hard time. And old David talks to us about how they'd come against him, how they'd tried to overpower him and to do harm unto him and to mistreat him and all of that. But old David said, "Lord, you're the God that I want to serve. You're the God that I want to live for. You're the one I want to count in my life." And so we see here that salvation message there in Acts chapter 16, how that old prisoner got saved while those men rejoiced. But yet we realize David does it even great here in Psalms 119 as praising the Lord. And so he said in verse 62, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment." I'm here to tell you tonight, church, we're just admonishing through these dark hours. Just keep a going. Just keep a singing. Just keep a shouting. Just keep praising God in these days. You say, "Preacher, it's hard for me to do it." Ask God to give you some more grace and ask Him to give you a little more victory in your life that you can just stand and be motivated to honor Him in these hours. So there's some dark scenes through the Bible. There's some midnight hours, but thank God still in control. David said, "In my home life, in my life, even at midnight in trouble hours, I just awoke to give praise unto the Lord." Sometimes in your saddest hours, and sometimes in your hardest times, I'll tell you, God will help you. Brother Pastor, when I was at Northwood Baptist Church, I was in Virginia, at Bristol, Virginia, in a camp meeting. My wife called me that day about 11 o'clock, and she said, you know, the girl in our church is going to have a baby." And I said, "I do." "They're at the hospital. The baby's been born, and the baby's dead. And they need you at the hospital." I told Brother Raiden Puckett I had to go. I went to the motel, got my clothes, and I headed for South Hospital, 3 hard-hour drive to get there. I walked in that hospital room. It was dead silence. That girl wasn't speaking to nobody. I walked in, and I said, "Sis, I'm sorry to hear of what's happened, but as your pastor's here now to try to be a help to you and try to help you through all of this." She wouldn't say a word. Never seen a woman so froze up in my life. I mean, shut everything out. And nobody had told me. And finally I said, "Can I have prayer?" And I just started praying. I didn't wait for an answer. Ask God to touch in that situation and to help me in that hour, that I could somewhere or another help this husband and wife, and to specially help her of the sadness of the loss of their first child. When I got through praying, first thing she said to me, she looked up at me and said, "Would you like to see the baby?" And I said, "Do what?" And she pulled a sheet down and the baby was laying there in that arm. He'd been born early that morning, Pastor, and nobody could get that baby. I mean, she wouldn't let nobody have that baby. And I looked at that situation and it just kind of numbed me for a second. And I said, "Mother," I said, "would you let me help you?" I said, "Now this baby, if you want to see it again, we're going to need to have a funeral director." And I said, "Would you agree, you and your husband, who you want, what funeral home to take care of the baby?" And they told me. And I said, "Will you agree that I call them and ask them to come and take the baby and fix it so they can put it in a little coffin? And that way you'll be able, when you get feeling better, to see the baby again and we'll have the funeral." That mother agreed to that. And I called David Gentry and I said, "David, I'm in a situation." And I said, "Bring you a baby blanket or a sheet or whatever and come to this room, Forsyth Hospital. And I said, when you get there, I'm going to turn the cover down and let you see the baby. And when you do, I want you to pick that baby up in that blanket and wrap it in your arms and tell that mother you're going to fix that baby so she can see it in a couple more days. And he did. And we worked through all of that, and I'm telling you a long story. And so David came. I pulled the sheet down. He just rested and done like he did, got the baby and wrapped it in that little blanket and put it in his arms. And said, "Folks, I'll be back in touch with you. And we're going to fix this baby." And he grinned at him and said, "We're going to fix it good." And I said, "David, I believe you'll do that." And he turned around and walked out of the door immediately. As he walked out the door, that mother shut me off again. All the way through the viewing, all the way through that funeral service, as I stood there, "Brother Pastor," she would not listen to me at all. Had me turned off. And I said, "Lord, you got to help me. We got to do something to help this mother." That hour that was so dark and so hard in that mother's life. And God gave me something immediately. Over in Matthew, the Bible said when they brought the little children to Jesus, the Bible said when he rebuked him and said, "Suffer not little children to come unto me." He said, "And their angel will watch over them and care for them." And I said, "Mother, could I get your attention? Would you just look at me?" She's sitting there with her head down. And I begged to her till she finally looked at me. And I said, "I got one scripture here and I'm coming to a close." I said, "Jesus looks after little children. I don't understand it all. But I said, here in Matthew, I said, there is an angel," and I quoted it to her. And I said, "As we get ready now to leave this graveside, I said, would you agree with me and would you go along with me that we're going to let Jesus just babysit this baby till you and I get to the city?" I'm telling you, that mother pushed her tears back. She raised her head. I'm here to tell you, thank God, she got up and walked out from under that tent. She never did look back. Glory to God. I want to tell you, this is just what old David was doing at a midnight hour. Thank God he just got giving praise to the Lord. He got a hold of the word of God. He began to praise God and give shout unto the Lord until God come on the scene. Old David didn't look back, church. We ain't got time to stop. We ain't got time to look back. Thank God we'll just march on and on for the glory of God. Why? Because he's looking for a praise.
Amen.
What a God we serve this morning. My soul, what a Savior we have at the midnight hour. And then if you'll go with me to Matthew 25, and I'll try to come to a close. In Matthew chapter 25, we see here that's another nice scene. In that nice scene, I'm glad there's going to be a separation. Matthew 25, verse 1 down through verse 13. He gives us a setting of 10 virgins. Five of them wise, five of them foolish. You say, why did he call them that? Five of them had oil in their vessel and their lamp. Now catch that. They had oil in their vessel in their lamp. And the foolish had no oil at all. You say, what is that? Five of them saved, five of them lost. And at that hour, there was good people. I mean, they was called virgins. Morally, they was good. Morally, they done things right. But they neglected the Savior. Brother, we've come to an hour in old America tonight. We've got a lot of preaching going on around here, just do good, keep the Ten Commandments, and just love one another, you'll make it to the city of God. No, that ain't the way salvation works. Salvation works when the Holy Ghost of God draws on your heart. And you see that you're lost and you need a Savior. That's the moment you need to get saved. And so we see here this scene of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And as he went away and as he come back, they still had no oil in their vessels. Out of that, He rebuked him. The Holy Spirit of God works mightily. And so we see here that he said that at midnight, we see that how that he came and he dealt with our hearts and he worked with them, and yet they turned him aside. But there was a rapture that took place. There was a separation. Brother, those five went out with him. But when they returned, after he said, they said, "You go get you some oil," said to the ones that had oil in a vessel. They said, "You go buy, unless we have not enough." And while they was gone, the Lord Jesus came at night, at a midnight hour. And by doing so, there was a separation that had taken place. And let me tell you, church, we're on the threshold of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And we're too close to look back now. We're too close to slow up. We're too close to turn around. Thank God he's fixing to get us out of here. What a day that's going to be. And I know there's been a lot of preaching on how it's going to take place and all. But I'll tell you this, God's not the author of confusion. He never has been. And he does everything according to as he dealt with the church of Corinth. He does everything decent and in order. And then over at in 1 Thessalonians, he said, "I'm going to come as a thief." You know how a thief comes? He'll come get in your house and get your goods and be gone. And he'll not mess up enough for you to hardly catch it when you get there. I don't know fully how all the rapture is going to take place, but I know it'll be done decent and order. It won't be a confusion situation. And it's going to be as a thief in the night. And brother, I see it a midnight scene here. When he come at the midnight hour, thank God he got those out. Those five wise. Those others that were lost. They were gone from their midst. And I'm telling you, we're fixing to get out of a dark world tonight. And a sin-cursed world. There waits something for us on the other side. Glory to God. Paul said, "Eyes never seen, ears never heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that waste us on the other side." I'm telling you, old Paul got to see it. He got caught up in the third heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and old Paul got into the third heaven. He was brought under an oath that he could not come back and tell what he had seen. And old Paul, as he'd been into the third heaven, came back and got preaching at the Korean church, and the devil got buffeted at him and said, "Paul, tell what you've seen." And Paul said, "I can't do it unless I be exalted above measure." Can't do that. And every time old Paul would get up to preach, the devil would come buff at him. "Paul, tell what you've seen in heaven." He couldn't do that until it come to be a thorn in his flesh. And he said, "Lord, would you remove this thorn from me?" And the Lord said, "No, Paul, I'm not going to remove what you've got to see in heaven. I'm going to give you grace. I'll give you grace." Paul could not preach. Folks, these things are waiting us on the other side. We can't even imagine. And God just give us enough to get us excited about it. The walls of jasper, the gates of pearl, the streets of gold, the river of life. But most of all, Jesus is going to be on our guest. Woo! What a day that's going to be. I've got a sister just almost made the crossing the other day. She's just hanging on. But I just stood there the other day when it didn't look like there's any hope. And I said, "Sis, it's going to be better on the other side. I've already read the Word of God. I don't know just the hour, but it don't look like it can be much longer. But I know one thing, there's something waiting for her better on the other side." Because she told me how God had saved her, how she had trusted the Lord. And folks, if you're here this morning not saved, don't do like a lady done 3 weeks ago today where I preached over the other side of King, North Carolina. We had a great service. I preached. And I began to feel God touching me about conviction over the church. And I cut my message short, Brother Pastor. And I said, Brother Pastor, I want you to come and we're going to stand to our feet and we're giving an invitation. I just cut it off like that. And I had them to stand. And I said, the Brother Pastor is going to take the invitation as soon as I get through praying. I didn't see just at that time who it was and where it was at. But I knew there was a deep work in that 11 o'clock service. And the pastor came and he detected. And he seen and he had him sing one other verse after they sung two verses. And he said, you know, you're under conviction. You need to come. Nobody came. He prayed and closed the service. He wanted my wife to go to the door. He and his wife went on out in the foyer. And there was a lady coming by and she was doing this. She had on a sweater, a heavy sweater, long sweater. She's jerking that sweater plumb up to her head and said, I need help. I need help. And out the door she went, crossed the sidewalk into the parking lot and turned and come back. And the pastor stepped out on the front porch and he spake to her and witnessed to her. And she turned and come back into church, but come in mind of why. She's still shaking that sweater just like this. And turned and come back to the pastor and she said, I'm not going to do it. And walked and got in her car and drove away. I hope she didn't send away the day of grace. I can't get over it. I hadn't seen conviction like that preacher in years. I'm talking about years. I've never seen nothing like it. If you're here this morning not saved, please don't do that. How foolish these five had a privilege to be saved. And they turned it aside until the midnight hour came when he got them out. Church, he's getting us out of here. And I want you this morning to take it seriously at your heart. Don't gamble with your soul. How awful it'd die from the pews of a church that's preached the gospel and go to hell. Please don't do that. Come to know Christ as your Savior. Brother pastors, your music comes, whatever. We're going to stand to our feet. I'm going to have just a word of prayer. The pastor's going to take the invitation. And I want you this morning to be willing. If you're saved and you're not where you ought to be with God, find you a place around the altar. If you're here lost this morning, please come and take this preacher by the hand and speak to him and do business with God this morning. These folks here loves you. They pray for you. They'll help you any way that they can. Would you stand to your feet this morning, please?